Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
This is Lamalani Sieverts, and you're listening to Why Are People Into That? By Tina Horn.
Welcome to the 38th episode of Why Are People Into That? The podcast that really makes you feel like you're right there in the room. My guest today is Ella Darling, a pioneer of virtual reality in the adult industry. You know technology has emerged from the realm of science fiction when people are making serious porn careers out of it. But before we get to that, I have a few things to tell you about, so hang on to your butts. If you love this podcast and want extra exclusive content you can't get anywhere else, you can subscribe to Why Are People Into That on Acast Plus. Acast is totally changing the way people listen to podcasts, and they chose my little old indie pervert show as one of the first shows to be featured on their new subscription program. My first episode for Acast Plus subscribers is a short interview with the hilarious and subversive writer Merritt Kay. We talked about pregnancy fetishes and the Omegaverse. Download the Acast app and subscribe to all your favorite shows to find out more. Since this is another episode about sex and technology, I'm going to extend my free book offer. If you sign up for my Patreon for $5 or more a month, I will send you a free, personalized, signed copy of my book, Sexting: The Grown-Up's Guide to Getting Dirty Digitally. Check out patreon.com/TinaHorn. So I'm really looking forward to attending the Woodhull Sexual Freedom Summit this year. Susie Q and I are presenting a lecture about the whore singularity. More on that later. Also, my friend and colleague Tristan Taramino is teaching her acclaimed sex educator boot camp on Thursday, August 4th, in Alexandria, Virginia, at Woodhull. Tristan is one of a handful of people doing professional training for sex educators and folks whose work focuses on sexuality, including bloggers, authors, coaches, speakers, BDSM educators, therapists, health professionals, and sex workers. If this sounds like, I don't know, something my listeners might be interested in, I've got a special discount code for you. DEAL25 for 25% off your registration. I'll be there. I hope to see you there. Finally, on June 29th, I'm doing a special Pride version of my Dirty Talk class at the Pleasure Chest in the Upper East Side. It's free, it's queer, and I'd love to see you there with your nasty mouth. So, strap on your Oculus Rift as we explore why are people into virtual reality? Hello, Ella Darling.
Hi.
How's your cat's pastrami?
It's so damn good.
You were saying that other times that you've been to New York, you were a vegetarian, so you haven't experienced the magic.
Yeah, I was a vegetarian for a decade, and this is the first taste of this delicious pastrami, and I'm really into it.
You haven't had pastrami in 10 years until this moment right now?
Yeah, I mean, probably longer than that. Probably it's been 12 or 13 at this point.
Wow, I'm excited for you.
Yeah, it's great. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I mean, you went right to the top because Katz's is the best.
Yeah, oh my gosh, it's real damn good.
Well, welcome to New York.
Thank you.
Tell us a little bit about why you're in New York.
I am in New York to speak at a conference called Versions, which is a big virtual reality conference, and I'm the perversion of Versions.
Yes.
So we had the conference yesterday, and cool. I spoke on it, and it was a really cool conference, very artistically driven, really well organized, really kind people. They went out of their way to make sure that I was comfortable and to make sure that nobody said any douchey shit to me or, like, you know.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they made such an effort just to make sure that I felt safe and welcome. And that was so cool of them.
That's amazing. And they invited you because you co-founded a company that is really, like, breaking a lot of new ground in virtual reality porn. Am I right about that?
Yeah. So my company, VRTube.xxx, we were the first to make pornographic holograms in virtual reality. And then we were the first to do live VR webcam. So I'm the world's first VR cam girl.
Yes.
Yeah, we've done a little bit of everything. So I'm going to give you a little backstory.
Please do.
I met my business partner on Reddit. His friend, who he was kind of working with, posted about their idea to do VR porn on Reddit. And as soon as I saw it, I was like, hells yes, motherfuckers.
Yes.
Fly me out. Let's do this. Let's make some VR porn.
Amazing.
I was psyched about it. I had been into VR for years. I had seen it at E3 and I'd seen it grow a little bit. And I always wanted to do porn for it.
Yeah.
I just figured, you know, the people who are going to do porn for it are going to be like the really big companies. And I'm not that.
Right.
I'm not that kind of performer. I'm not a big name performer.
And you've been working in porn in LA for how long?
It's been a little over 6 years now.
Cool.
So as soon as I saw this, I was like, yes, this is my opportunity. I want to do this.
Yeah.
And so we emailed and we talked a little bit and they ended up flying me out, honestly, because I don't think that they could even talk to anyone else. I think they even tried calling an agent and the agent was like, you guys are some fucking kids on the East Coast. No.
Right, right. But you believed in them.
I believed in them. And also, he was based in Maryland. Mm. So he flew me out to DC and I got to stay with my wifey best friend.
Oh,
and
cool.
So it was like a vacation to see my friend and a couple hundred bucks. So I fly out there. I meet him in the train station in DC and I like kind of did a double take because he was fucking 20 years old and
oh
he
God.
Didn't even look that.
Whoa.
It, very baby face. And I was like, oh, should I ask for his ID? Like, I think it's going to be okay. And so I asked him, you know, are we shooting a studio or is it someone's apartment? Because in porn, you know, you shoot wherever the fuck.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh my like, God. And how many times do you have to ask the producer for their ID?
Oh my God.
Can you fill out this 2257, please?
Exactly. So he was like, yeah, it's my apartment. So it's like, okay. And then we get to Maryland and we clearly are going to a college. And so it ended up being his dorm room.
Wow.
Yeah. So
this is a good story.
It was cool. I shot my first VR porn scene in his dorm room. There was like some kind of cartoony, I think it was like the periodic table of elements, but a cartoon sort of thing.
Uh-huh.
And a collectible commemorative plate of Lieutenant Commander Data from Star Trek.
Stop it.
And
stop it.
Physics major. Yeah, it was a nerdy boy's dorm room.
And also maybe like a giant poster of Bob Marley made up of a composite of all kinds of little Bob Marleys, maybe.
That would have been so fitting. Oh my God.
Well, the limited edition plate of Data is, that's
it was special.
It was like a talisman watching
yeah.
over you.
Totally.
And did you were I am seeing your face light up when you say that you're the world's first VR cam girl. Is this like fulfilling a like science fiction fantasy, like a lifetime like reality of science fiction?
Kinda, yeah. Being able to be on the forefront of something with technology like this is really, really cool. It makes me feel so passionate about the future and with porn, and especially being a female person in a male-dominated place.
Mm.
Whether that's, you know, porn, like the higher like business aspects of porn,
yeah.
or tech, being able to be a chick in this place kind of helps me pave the way for how people should act and work in this place.
Absolutely.
So with our company, especially with the CAM stuff, we are prioritizing performers and empowering performers first.
I'm very happy to hear that.
Yeah, I mean, it's a huge passion of mine. I'm on the board of the Adult Performer Advocacy Committee.
That's right.
I just won an award for my advocacy and activism from the Free Speech Coalition.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it was really cool.
Mazel tov.
Thank you. I was a performer of the year for that.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and so that's really big. And so we're about to start working with a CAM company out of Canada called CAM4.
Cool.
And I've spoken to pretty much all of the big CAM companies, and I was so impressed with them because they have sort of reworked their business over the past year or so to be completely performer-centric. So instead of trying to recruit users, which you can only recruit one user at a time,
right,
they're recruiting the performers and catering to the performers. They offer CAM coaching in like several different languages, like 7 or 8 different languages.
That's amazing.
They have a model house in Romania that is basically just operating at cost, just to give the women there like a safe space to cam with good equipment and everything. And I just really like the way that they work and the way that they treat performers. So yeah.
So that's great.
Yeah.
So what is hot about VR porn, do you think?
Oh man. So when you put on a VR headset, I don't know if you've ever tried one.
I am totally one of those people who has only done it with that little cardboard VR headset that came with the New York Times like 2 months ago, or maybe it was late in 2015. Mm-hmm. And then you put it on and you're like, in Paris.
Right.
In the ocean. I guess actually I have memories of going to, I can't even remember what the conference or event would have been, but like wearing like a giant plastic thing like in the late 80s.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. But I couldn't tell you anything about it. I just like have a very vague memory of thinking like, oh, cool. So now this is real. And then it disappeared for 15 years.
Right. So there have been a lot of tech developments that make it more sustainable,
yeah,
and better for the user experience. It's like they found ways to make it so that you're not really getting sick and you don't have the motion sickness. And
yes,
kind of helps a lot. So it's really, really hot because you put on this headset and you are completely immersed in a world. Immersion,
right,
is a fucking buzzword. If you start studying virtual reality and watching like talks or anything,
yeah,
get a flask. Drink every time you hear immersion,
oh,
empathy,
no,
VR evangelist. I swear to fucking Christ.
Oh, God.
Yeah, that one is so popular. But yeah, there's just all these words. But it's immersive as hell.
Right.
You feel like you are in wherever you're at. You feel like you're watching the Paris, whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But because it's sex and because it's like a personal intimacy that we're building.
Right.
With my program, when you put it on, when you log into my stream, you're standing at the foot of my bed in my actual bedroom in a VR 3D 360 representation of the place where I actually live and fuck and jerk off all the fucking time.
Yeah.
And you're there. I mean, you look to the right and there's like a watercolor portrait of Boba Fett and a big Star Trek sigil. There's skulls
in the corner. I'm seeing a pattern here.
Yeah, exactly. And like you just get a sense of who I am,
yeah,
before I say a single word. So
right,
it builds this immediacy of intimacy,
yeah,
that you just can't really get when you're just watching someone on a little screen on your phone or on your computer, which is,
I mean, even camming has made that not only possible, but it seems like it's made it comfortable for sex workers to open up in that way because there is the virtual distance. Mm-hmm. So you're not literally inviting someone physically into your room, so you may feel safe like showing parts of your personality and not having to have this sort of like persona armor on all the time. And of course social media is encouraging that as well, where it seems like porn consumers are and like cam show consumers are probably going to start to get to the point where they expect to see like, oh, this like beautiful woman also that like has a favorite Star Wars character.
Yeah, yeah. That's really accurate what you're saying about kind of the distance provides safety. I am so much more, I'm a different version of myself when I'm on cam, and it's like I'm more effusive, and I'm more. It's a camera. I'm talking to a camera. I don't care. Like, the camera isn't gonna give me like stink eye or anything if I'm a weirdo. It's just a camera, and the people at home might think I'm weird, but I don't give a shit.
Yeah, and you don't have to interface with that at all.
Exactly.
And you don't have to deal with like that judgment or like any of the like icky stuff that can sometimes come with that.
Exactly. Yeah. Including cum.
Yes.
but it's fucking awesome because you feel like you're really in the room with someone. Yeah. When you're watching me, if you're watching me on cam just on your laptop, you're looking at your laptop. In VR, I dominate your fucking world.
Yeah.
I am the only thing you're seeing. You're not checking your phone. You're not doing anything else.
Well, that's one benefit for sure. You can't check your phone.
Though I think with the Vive, and probably everybody else is going to follow suit, I think they have a thing where it can like a Bluetooth connect to your phone.
You can toggle.
Yeah, so you can, it'll have like little things pop up, which is important because I live on my phone.
Sure.
So they're only looking at me. I'm pretty much the only thing that they're engaging with.
Right.
And that's hot and that's intimate. And it really speeds up the personal connection you build with someone. So on cam, it'll take me several sessions before someone really like, I mean, it's people share so much of themselves.
Yeah.
It's this intense shared vulnerability and this reciprocal sort of attraction kind of thing that you're trying to build for the person. But it's just so much faster in VR. I've had one story I really like is this guy. He came to my VR shows. He came to like two or three of them.
Yeah.
And then he was gone. He missed the next few. And then he came back. And
so meaning, and when you say he came to your VR shows, like you're in your bedroom putting on a show with your equipment and people are like logging on the internet to your show the same as they would for a cam show.
Yeah, exactly.
And you're like scheduling these times that you can come to the thing. And is it like you can have a public and a private room as well, or?
So with the beta version that we were testing, that was just group shows.
Gotcha.
But with our new program, you can do private shows. And with the private shows, you can go like mic to mic. So the person can actually just talk and the model can hear them.
Oh, nice. That improves upon the whole like scrolling like chat to text from all of the users who are watching.
Exactly.
But so you were saying that you had someone come to several of your shows.
Right. So then he missed like one or two and I wondered where he was.
Yeah.
But so finally he came back after a few weeks and he told me, you know, he's just he's had a rough couple of weeks because he and his girlfriend broke up and they tried to make things work and it didn't work and he was just really depressed. And he was lonely and he wanted to feel like he wanted to be in a safe space with somebody he felt comfortable with and someone he trusted.
Yeah.
And that was my bedroom in virtual reality. And I was that person.
That's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, when he was in this crushing emotional low, virtual reality is what made him feel safe. And that's really powerful.
It is really powerful. Well, so let's talk about immersion a little bit. So right now we're talking about something that is a visual experience. Mm-hmm. And we can maybe talk later about what the future might be of the other senses that you could experience with virtual reality. But can you define immersion?
So immersion would be like when you are completely engrossed in something, when it is, like I was saying, it's dominating your worldview, your experience. Yeah. You're just completely in a separate space. When you put on the headset and you no longer feel like you're in this hotel in New York City, but rather in whatever virtual experience that you're trying out.
Yeah.
So that's what immersion would be.
And so I read this Wired article about you that was pretty good, I thought.
Yeah.
And it would the journalist, I can't remember his name.
Peter Rubin.
So in the Wired article, Peter Rubin was talking about something called presence, which made sense to me as soon as he was describing it. But can you define presence?
Right. So with the presence, it's feeling like you're really in the same room as someone else, an actual human or an actual entity that you feel is genuine and authentic. So not like not talking to shitty non-player characters who have only a few lines of text that they can recite.
Right.
It's really being present with another person and engaging with them authentically.
Yeah, I don't, I'm not a neuroscientist, but I would be so interested in hearing someone talk about what starts to change, not only in your brain, I guess, but also like your perception and your consciousness when you are totally zoning in on immersion. I guess it is easy to use that word.
Yeah.
It's probably so popular because it's describing something that we're trying to wrap our minds around, right?
Yeah, it's the perfect word for it.
But I mean, I feel like I also have that experience when I go to the movies as opposed to watching TV or watching a movie on my laptop.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the things that I love the most about the movies is that it like creates a space where you totally zero in. And that's why I get pissed off when people are on their phones at the movies.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, it's very much like that. But I would say it's, so I compare like regular, like shitty regular porn to VR as like, the analogy I make is, it's like comparing a Polaroid to an IMAX movie.
Oh my God.
And it's, IMAX is a huge screen. You kind of look around and it's everywhere where you look, unless you're turning around, which is the benefit of VR. But like with our software, you can't, it's a 360 3D experience. You can look all around you. You can look behind you. You can look wherever. But just like when you're at the movie theater, you're not really looking behind you. I mean, there's no content back there, but if you did, it'd be kind of uncomfortable to be spinning around all the time.
Right.
You kind of want to focus in front of you, especially if you're jerking off.
Yes.
Yeah. So we give the experience of a 3D 360, but we're not streaming the entire 360 degrees. Mm. We kind of fuck with it a little. We kind of, we have software that basically, it'll take a 360 degree photo representation of the performer's bedroom and recreate it in VR.
Mm-hmm.
And then we overlay video on top of that. And doing that saves so much bandwidth that we can stream this experience over 3G. In fact, I had a user in Lebanon. So that's across the world. That's a lot of latency.
Yeah.
Who was streaming on 3G on his cell phone and he loved it.
So I got a little preview of getting to see it, and it was amazing. I mean, it was what else can I say? Like, it was so amazing. I was like, I definitely want to do this.
Well, that's awesome to hear. Thank you.
And it's so funny you describing the 360 thing. Like, my mind immediately goes to like, well, we'll really know that we're getting somewhere with the technology where you can be in the middle of like a Caligula style orgy and you can like look all around and just see people fucking all around you.
So that's actually really funny because that is the example that I use as to why, like I think that's the best use case for 360 degree, like recorded video because, okay, let me rewind. So we've shot VR porn in pretty much every sense that you can think of. We've done 180 degree stereoscopic, so two cameras capturing about 180 degrees, 360 3D capture, where we use 12 GoPros and stitch it all together with software afterwards. It's a bitch and a half, but it's kind of cool. Yeah. It's also fundamentally impossible to really have real 360 3D because of the way that your eyes work. Mm. It's like it's called the hairy ball theorem, which is so great. But if you imagine like a sphere that's got like hair or fur on it, and you're trying to brush it all in one direction, which if you imagine it's like your eyes need to be able to point the same with the same interpupillary distance in every direction.
Ooh. Oh, Ella. is that really a word, interpupillary?
We call it IPD.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah. And it's adjustable in all the headsets. so you have to be able to look in every direction with that same distance, and if you've got like a camera facing in front of you and a camera to the left, then when you look kind of between those cameras, the person's going to be all fucked up looking and disjointed.
Right.
So that's difficult. And so yeah, the hairy ball theorem is basically just that you're never going to have perfect 360 3D at the apex and the nadir of the capture. So we tried doing 360 3D. I got real sick of it. What I would say is, you know, if we were shooting Caligula style orgies, this would be so good for it.
Yeah.
But most porn isn't going to be that. Most porn can't afford to have that many people at the same time.
Totally.
It's just not really viable. So that's why we decided to not do a live 360 capture because there's just not the need for the content unless you're watching something really big like that, which fuck yeah. Yeah. So we did those things. Then we did the holograms. I don't remember if I said this here or if we talked about it beforehand, so I'll just repeat myself.
Yeah, no. You did mention holograms, but is that like, you know, when you can go to like a TLC show now, like, or when you can see Tupac or Freddie Mercury or whoever else they've like made?
Did they do that with Freddie?
I think they did it with Freddie. Maybe that was just my wishful thinking.
I know. Oh my God, that's like a dream.
Yeah, that would. That made me think differently about it. I was like, oh, I would go. I would go to that.
I just spilled orange juice all over myself because I'm real classy. Glamorous life of a porn star right here. So our holograms, we call it like a holographic image. We use a time of flight depth camera, which is a fancy way of saying a Microsoft Kinect.
Okay.
And we capture, like, it's like kind of a volumetric capture. So we're establishing the depth. And so you can lean your head in and back, and it recreates the depth of the room, sort of. And you can lean left and right and sort of see her sides. We kind of got away from that because the quality of the capture isn't quite there. It's cool. And with the current user base, they're very forgiving because most of them are developers or huge enthusiasts. So they're willing to, like, they'll look past some of the shitty parts.
Right.
But it was too much to ask, like, the greater user base to be like, hey, this, I know it's not quite right. I know it's kind of weird. I know it's kind of disorienting to see, like, part of my side disappear. But hey.
There are going to be people who develop that fetish, though.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Well, hey, hit me up. I can make you some weird shit. But then using that same method, we did a dating simulator. So you can date me in virtual reality, and I'm kind of a bitch. So we did this. It was really cool. I was back in Maryland with my business partner. We were in this, just a room on his campus that had like whiteboards and like a little ball pit. And like, it was very much like, here, go here and be productive. And we covered the wall in just like action trees and like options. And like, if I say this, here are your options, what you can say. And if you say this, then this is what I might say. And this is how many points you'll get for it. And if you try to say something like if you try to be a little too flirtatious before you've established rapport, which is counted in points, basically, then I'm going to tell you to go fuck yourself, essentially.
So it's a choose your own adventure, dating game, but also it sounds like training.
Yes, exactly.
Like what with, I mean, that's where my mind goes, like the implication of if you behave this way, like you're gonna get this response.
Yes,
it would, seems like it would be really great, not only consent training, but all, and or like conditioning. Yes. Frankly, but also like how to be a good date, how to like be a good partner, how to be a good person, like what women really want, like.
Yes, exactly. And so the version that we made, it was very basic, and we realized that this is something like, okay, first of all, it's badass, and second of all, it needs to be a lot more comprehensive. You have to have a lot more options. We only were giving people like 4 response options, and most people were like, I mean, I wouldn't really say any of those things, which is fine. I mean, we did it in an afternoon. But yeah, I mean, if you talk shit about Harry Potter, I am out the door. And then at the end, it's like, oh yeah, I really like you. Maybe you can go to VR2.xxx and blah, blah, blah. But ultimately, it's not even a pornographic application. The only porny thing is, like, I talk about my career very frankly, because it's what I do, but I'm not talking about it in a lascivious way.
I mean, also, some people have bitchy girlfriend fetishes, so
yeah, that's true. Oh, that's true.
I mean, I'm kind of excited by the, sorry to be a creep, but I'm kind of excited about the idea of like just anytime I want to, like having you be like to me.
Oh man.
Anyway.
So yeah, we did the dating simulator thing.
So that's recorded.
Yes.
So you're not doing that live. So you're not like putting up with all of these users.
Oh God, no.
Live. Ugh. It's a recording of you. So they're essentially like interacting with a, I guess artificial intelligence is not the right word because it's more like it's a simulate.
Yeah, it's a simulator. Yeah. It's a simulator.
Okay. I don't play video games very often, so I'm realizing that there's probably like obvious comparisons in like first person shooters that I am just like not coming up with.
That's okay. I I am very selective about my video gaming.
Yeah.
So yeah, we did the dating sim, and that was really cool. And we were like, holy shit, it actually feels like you're talking to, like, a real person. This is really cool. And then we were like, wait, why don't we just let people talk to real people in VR? And so then we started doing the cam thing. And cool. My business partner is a genius. He studied quantum physics.
Oh my God.
He did some condensed matter research and lunar seismology. Right?
Something to do with the, that sounds witchy, actually.
Oh my God. It's it's real cool. So this is, we're talking about a very, very intelligent person.
Sure.
He stopped doing computer science in college because he wanted something more challenging, and that's why he did quantum physics. So he wrote this whole program in about, I would say, just under 2 months.
Wow.
And then started doing a lot of improvements to it. For the this was the live cam, I mean. No, the dating simulator was like a few weeks tops. But so then we started doing the live cam, and we rolled out this green screen live cam where the model would sit in front of a green screen, and we would chroma key that out and then kind of place her digitally into a 3D rendered environment. So the environment we were using was this beautiful outdoor space, like outside of a mansion. There's this gorgeous, like, lily-filled swimming pool, and it's dusk, and the sun is just barely peeking through the trees still.
Sounds like
gorgeous.
A Taylor Swift video.
Oh my God, yes, totally. Fuck yeah. Oh my God, I totally want to be broken up with by Taylor Swift in VR.
I'm sure that we can make that happen.
But so that was cool. And that was the first version of the live cams. And people, when they tried it, we had people say, you know, I don't even pay for porn, but I would pay for this.
Mm.
And so that was very validating. But it was, the quality wasn't as great as it could be. My eyes are green, so they were getting chroma keyed out. I have a rainbow tattoo, and the green would be keyed out.
That's so funny.
It was problematic in some ways.
Again, somebody is going to develop a fetish for green screen eye porn. Anyway,
it was creepy looking. It was fucking eerie.
Yeah.
But yeah, so.
Or you could make, speaking of music videos, it seems like you could make some pretty creepy, like, Aphex Twin music videos with all of this weird, distortion of the human.
Dude, Aphex Twin is going to rock this. I cannot wait until they get into VR. They're still producing. I mean, they just put out a record not too
long
ago, right?
I think so.
Fuck yeah. God, that's going to be cool.
I feel like we're excited about similar implications.
Hell yeah. So then from there, we decided to kind of take a different approach.
Mm.
Because the green screen stuff can be a little expensive. It's kind of clunky. It's kind of a pain in the dick. So we made a new program, which is our current program, which does the, it takes a capture of the room. So
right.
it's photorealistic. The performer doesn't need a green screen. She's just like overlaying her video on top of an identical image that
That's,
extrapolates.
It's so fascinating too, because your imagination goes to, oh, well, it would be great to have a cam show in space, or it'd be great to have a cam show like in like ancient Egypt, like in a, you know, or like, or be in a Caligula orgy, or like be on a holodeck, or be like, you know, on like anywhere that you could, or like a complete like surreal alien landscape. But probably at the end of the day, the set dressing is not as important as the presence of the performer.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Everything else ended up really just being a novelty.
Yeah.
And if someone is super fucking into that, I mean, it's still available. We could still make that available, but it's just, I don't think it's the best use case.
Yeah.
And also, the reason why we got away from green screen, a big reason why I was super jazzed, is because with a green screen, performers can only cam in VR or in front of a green screen.
Right.
And
they, so they can't,
them.
That makes it less possible for them to become entrepreneurs of their own content.
Exactly. They're limiting the people they can reach. They can only reach people with the headsets.
Mm.
And most of them already have a very strong user base, and I can't ask a performer to give up that revenue and that fan base they've built up
right.
to help my company.
Right.
So with this, they can cam in virtual reality, and they can also cam in regular 2D to their existing clients at the same time. So they can keep camming to their same people, making the same money, and just making a little more doing VR. They can also capture a 360 3D VR, like, video, basically, of what they're doing. And they can do a 2D version of that as well.
Wow.
So four different options to monetize their work with one performance. And with doing the 360 3D VR capture, again, it's like, it's really just their capture space, their actual performance space is pretty small. It's like a bed. But the experience is 3D 360. And at this juncture, if a performer wants to be in VR porn, they have to go through a studio who has all the equipment and the software and the tech and all that shit. Most of these companies are owned by, you know, old white dudes.
Right.
And those people have been profiting off of sex workers forever.
That's right.
And so giving performers the power to create their own content that they own and they can sell and they can make money off of and they can enter the VR realm without anybody else deciding that they're worthy is really cool. And that was something, you know, when I really wanted to do VR porn, I was like, well, I'm not fucking Stoya or Annika Albright. I'm not one of those performers. I'm totally like, I'll do it eventually, but it's going to be like when everybody starts doing it and like I get those roles. So getting to do this just because you fucking want to is pretty cool.
Yeah. Oh my God. Amazing. Thank you for speaking to that side of things, because it actually is a really exciting new frontier in that way for the performers, for the models, for the talents to be able to be in control of,
hell yeah,
of their careers. That's so great. I'm really glad that you're thinking about those things.
I'm glad that you appreciate it.
I love also listening to you talk about all of the technical stuff and then hearing the stories that you were just telling me about how much people underestimate you. It just makes me laugh, because you're while they're underestimating you, you're going to be like zipping past them.
It's kind of cool. And it's funny when people underestimate me. We were talking earlier about how, like, even though some of these people find me because they read about me in magazines about how I'm the co-founder of this company and they read what I say.
Yeah.
It just doesn't click to them that this porn slut is actually like doing this shit. And so they end up either like they want to be my competition and they tell me way more about their company than they ever should.
Oh my God. So funny.
Oh my God. It's so, yeah, it's silly. And it would be offensive if I didn't just take advantage of it.
That's a great attitude.
I mean, fuck it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi there. I'm Tina Horn, the producer and host of the podcast Why Are People Into That? An interview show about sex, kink, gender, and love. I want to tell you about the new bonus segment of my show. It's called Interrobang. An interrobang is when a question mark and an exclamation point are next to each other. Really, that's the actual name for that. Interrobang is also a short, exclusive segment that you get when you subscribe to Why Are People Into That on Acast Plus. On the first episode of Interrobang, my guest is the writer Merritt Kay. We talked about pregnancy fetishes.
Unless science can, like, give me, can allow me to give birth to puppies or kittens, I'm not interested.
Just, you know, cross your fingers.
Yeah, yeah, we'll
it
get
could
there.
Happen. Anything
we
could happen.
Will get there.
On the same segment, Merritt and I also talked about a form of erotic fan fiction known as the Omegaverse. I cannot tell you the last time I had to Google something sexual. Like, everybody, like, you heard it here first. Until Merritt mentioned it to me, I did not know what the Omegaverse was. Can you please let us know what the fuck that is?
Gladly. I'm so proud that I could stump you. It feels like a game show, like stump Tina Horn. Come up with some weird sex thing that Tina Horn has never heard of.
Sounds great. Let's do it.
To find out more, subscribe to Wire People Into That on your Acast app. Follow at Tina Horn's Ass on Twitter and Instagram, and visit wirepeopleintothat.com.
Do you think that people are always going to want to have a sense that there is an actual human model behind the content that they're watching? Or do you think that within 10 years, let's say, there will be programming that is either artificially intelligent or basically just like composed, created to interact with people that is like based on a human that like an image of a human that is not real, that has never exists, that's not like powered by an individual's personality?
I think that's definitely going to be a very appealing thing. I would say probably farther than 10 years, but yeah, I think in general that's probably going to be a thing that people really like. But at the same time, I think that there's always going to be some demand for the realism and knowing that that's a real person, like another actual human being in the world. Because at least for me, like, I can connect with an artificial intelligent entity.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't actually, literally cannot right now. But when that happens, I could do that. And that would be really great. And I would feel very connected with that existence.
Sure.
But part of what makes me feel satiated with this sort of approach is just knowing that I'm not alone in the universe.
Totally.
It's like I fucking don't really leave my house that much. So being able to put on a headset and talk to another person and knowing that like somewhere on this planet is another person who's engaging with me directly. And like, that's something, like that is something that makes me feel comfort, in some existential way.
Totally.
And so in terms of a sexual thing, like, I think it still applies. Like, knowing that, like, I, like, this weird thing that I'm into isn't all that weird because this other person is at least cool with it also. When that's an actual person, that's really comforting. When it's like, hey, this weird fucking fetish of yours is something a computer could kind of wrap its brain around, I guess. Like, there's that. So in terms of just fulfilling a sexual need, I think AI is going to be really powerful for that.
Yeah.
But what, like, one of our focuses is sort of just helping people overcome loneliness.
Yeah.
Loneliness has physiological impacts on you. I mean, if you think
absolutely
of, like, old people who have pets or really cool plants tend to live longer because they aren't as lonely and they're connecting with another thing.
Oh, man. Yes, totally.
Yeah. And so that's something that this kind of provides. And I think that part of that is because it's a human being. But hell yeah, robots are going to be big. AI is going to be awesome, and it's definitely going to be something that people enjoy. But I don't think it's going to be the end all be all.
The thing that I keep imagining is, what if people think that they are talking to a person, but it's really software? Like if they believe that it's real, then I would be curious, in other words, I would be curious to see people develop virtual sex workers that could pass a Turing test with someone who was looking for that kind of companionship or erotic entertainment.
I think that's definitely on the horizon eventually. Just like overcoming the uncanny valley is becoming more achievable.
Right. Define the uncanny valley?
Okay, so the uncanny valley is where, like, when you're interacting with a like fake human sort of thing, like creature. My vocabulary on this is not as great as it should be, considering that I do this for work. But so when you're connecting with, like, let's say a character, an avatar on the screen.
Right.
The more humanoid it is, the more you tend to connect with it. Up until a point where it becomes too realistic, but not realistic enough. And it's like, if you imagine a graph, it's going up and up and up in terms of like believability until they're just a little too human, but not human enough. And then it's uncanny and it's weird. And so your relatability to that character just immediately drops.
Yeah.
Until they get to a point where they are really legit, where they're passing the Turing test, where you don't even second guess it.
Yeah.
And then your engagement peaks again. Mm. So the Uncanny Valley is like this place in a graph.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Where people just stop connecting.
You know what I always think of when I think about the Uncanny Valley is Pixar movies. In Pixar movies, a robot like Wall-E, mm-hmm. or a monster like in Monsters, Inc., or even like an anthropomorphized animal, mm-hmm. feels more real and relatable than their humans.
Yes.
Their humans look like a bunch of shapes to me, and yeah. I have read that other people have this experience as well. Even the like human, like even like a like Woody and Buzz, who are toys, are more relatable than like the humans in the Toy Story movies, because you see them as like an inanimate object that is like anthropomorphized, right?
Yeah.
So to me, like the Uncanny Valley also has to do with this weird place where they're like making, like Pixar is making like human characters, but I don't see them as human because I know what it's like to be a human, but I don't know what it's like to be like an abstract monster that represents a feeling.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. That's a really good analogy, a really good example.
But I wonder, to be a creep again, like applying Pixar to porn, like I wonder if we would be more likely to believe a sort of like fantasy character, like a fantasy sexy character in VR porn than a human that doesn't look quite right.
Right.
Like, would we be more willing to like jerk off to like a you know, like an Ava style robot where we can, I mean, that's another example, right? The movie Ex Machina, where you can like see through her body and you can like see the mechanics of it, and somehow that makes her seem more real.
Right. Right. I don't know. So I think when it comes to jerking off, like that's a big value change in terms of like the engagement. So I can watch a Pixar movie and feel more like, feel closer to Woody, for example.
Right.
But I don't want to fuck Woody. Like, it's interesting, but I'm not there. He's a charming young man.
I'd like to have a beer with him, but.
Yeah, exactly. And so when it comes to actually like putting your dick into it, or your vag, or your whatever myriad of genitalia you may have, that starts to be, the demands there are going to be a lot more stringent than entertainment in general.
Yeah, that is so interesting.
Right. I've seen a couple of demos. Like, there was a demo where you could fuck Chun-Li. There was a demo where it's like this, it's like a little robot girl, mm. but it's so robotic. It's so like, it's like a loop, and she's just kind of like doing the same really sexy little like kind of damsel-y like sex positions, and yeah. It's cute, but it's like, it's a novelty. It's not as engrossing as like a human.
Totally.
And eventually, so it's hard. It's hard to make an avatar of a human. I mean, the people look like bulbous toes with weird skin. And the skin is really hard. Like, skin is so fucking cool.
Yeah.
Like, the way that light reflects off of your skin, like, it penetrates the different layers. And that's why it's so hard to make skin, like, actual skin in a computer, because the way that it, oh, it's just fucking awesome. Like, human bodies are so cool.
Yeah.
but yeah, getting, like, just getting the skin right is such a big thing. Like, you can have a really realistic looking person, but when the skin still looks like that fucking rubbery, like, nonsense, yeah. I'm just, it's not there.
Well, yeah, so I guess the part of the question is, would VR porn be appealing to people because you could have the kind of sex that would be impossible or improbable for you to have otherwise? With, you know, by improbable, I mean like a threesome. Totally not impossible, but sometimes logistically difficult to achieve. And so you could, you know, there's like, on one end, you have the idea that you could be like, a like two like dragons fucking while flying, right? Like, and then there's the idea that you could like have something that is like totally grounded in reality, but just it's like easier to watch the show than to actually like, you know, go out to the bar or
totally
get on Tinder or however people do it these days.
yeah, and that's kind of a thing that we're working on. I mean, that's sort of why the camp thing works, because there's a lot of people who just don't have access to a romantic experience, whether right. it's mobility or lack of social skills, or yeah. you don't have connections, or you don't have time. There's so many reasons why someone might just live their life without any kind of romantic engagement.
Yeah.
And that's fucking, that sucks. Like, yeah. it's such an important part of the human experience.
Absolutely.
And so giving people the option to engage with another person in a way that's, it's transactional, so everybody is benefiting. You're not taking right. advantage of someone or forcing them to do something they don't want to do, but you're
or getting emotionally coercing them or like or using each other. Yeah,
right. Well, that's actually kind of interesting, because I do have some concern about coercion and manipulation. That was yesterday. They asked us at the conference I was speaking at. They asked us like about vulnerability in VR, and I was on a panel with a young man who's like making this really cool queer program where he's doing all this shit in CG, and he's naked in some of it. And so they were asking, do you feel more vulnerable having exposed yourself and being naked in these experiences? And my answer was, fuck no. The vulnerability lies with the user.
Yeah.
I have seen just regular cam girls really kind of fuck up guys' lives, because the guy really believes, even though they shouldn't, because they're paying. And as long as you're paying, as long as it's a transaction, it's, you know, it's a transaction.
Right.
But like, I have one of my fans is this autistic college man, and he's this college kid who's autistic, and he's very upfront about it, and he communicates this.
Yeah.
And what I've seen is a couple of performers have seized on that and taken advantage of the ways in which he doesn't quite click in certain ways. And he's gotten really emotionally invested in women. And then at that point, it's like, well, he's paying for it. He's getting something that he feels is of value.
He's an adult.
Yeah.
He can make his own decisions.
Exactly. But at the same time, like, if you're telling somebody that you love them, that's, and you don't, and you're doing it just to get a dollar, or not a dollar, but to stack paper.
Yeah.
That to me is really unethical, and that's
really interesting
and abusive. And the capacity for that in VR is definitely going to be higher. So I think that people, there needs to be a higher standard of ethics.
Yeah.
In VR. But yeah, so definitely this can give you the opportunity to have those experiences you couldn't have. You want to feel like you're having a threesome? Fuck yes. You want to talk her into anal? Probably.
Yeah, I mean, a VR simulation doesn't probably need lube or warm up.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, hopefully we're not creating unrealistic expectations, you know, like that people are like worried about that with porn, where people right. are like, you know, but maybe one result of VR is that people will finally start to get it through their heads that they need to distinguish between fantasy and reality. Like, maybe if they're like actually putting goggles on their head, they're gonna be like, maybe the stakes are different now.
Yeah.
Like, maybe it will, it, like, maybe the irony of it being like more immersive, more believable, more present will be that people get the difference more.
Yeah, I would like to think so. They call virtual reality headsets, they call them the empathy machine.
Interesting.
Because it has a very huge capacity to communicate empathic experiences. There was a woman who was speaking yesterday, and some of the first things that she did were, she did an experience where, I think she called it perspectives. There's one where it's like sexual assault from the aggressor's perspective and from
Whoa.
The victim's perspective.
Whoa.
I won't watch that. Like, that's so fucking triggering. But that, wow. like, how big is that?
Wow.
That you can experience that. I was talking, I interviewed Rose McGowan at
VR conference. And she is fucking awesome.
Yeah.
She wanted to do something similar for like college kids where it's like a date rape experience.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. And so it's like, hey, here's what you're actually putting people through when you assault them when they're passed out. Here's what they are living through. Here's what they carry with them for the rest of their lives.
Oh, man.
Don't do that.
Oh, man.
And then the other, so for the perspectives thing, the other thing that she had mentioned she did was police brutality. So she had these two young actor dudes and then two cops. And like it was basically recreating like a shooting.
Whew.
It's pretty heavy.
Wow, that is really heavy. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And but that, I mean, if you can put a bunch of like flyover state Republican people in the shoes of like young black men who are facing police brutality on the streets and make them realize that like this is their actual lived experience.
Wow.
This is what it really is like. It's not your fucking shitty fantasy of black men being monsters. It's that it's a hard fucking world to live in if you're a person of color. Yeah. And this is what it's like.
Oh man.
That's huge.
That is huge. Yeah, and the implications of that for sex, you know, even consensual sex, mm-hmm. are also profound in terms of people understanding what it is like to be in a different kind of body or have a different kind of sex.
One of my friends, I was talking to him at Comic-Con a year or two ago. He was telling me that he had tried a VR porn experience from a female perspective.
Wow.
And it was really, like, it was rough sex. It was really hard. It was like,
yeah.
It was like, yeah, I mean, that's my jam. That's what I do. Thanks.
Yeah.
And he was so, it was, like, disquieting for him.
Wow.
Because he didn't realize what it was like to be a woman in a sexual experience.
Yeah.
And I don't know how different our perspectives really are.
Yeah,
From gender to gender, I think it's more, like, the kind of sex you have. But for him,
He had like never conceptualized what it would be like to be a bottom.
Exactly.
For example.
Exactly.
And then he has not even been able to get to the point where you could appreciate like being a rough sex bottom where like the intensity is what you are desiring and after.
Yes. He said it completely changed the way that he has sex with women.
Wow.
And he thinks of their perspective. He thinks of their pleasure and enjoyment. He thinks of their comfort a lot more. And like, just like, I think for him, it was sort of the look on the face of the guy and how like,
yeah,
he said he looked like kind of scary and violent. And it's like, well, sex faces are kind of silly.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's like, he really thought a lot more critically about the way that he has sex.
Wow.
And that is awesome. If we can do that.
I mean, what I'm definitely imagining like Tristan Taramino making like VR sex ed where you're like the sex is happening and like Tristan like kind of like peeks into the frame and is like, did you use enough lube? Looks like she could use some more lube.
Oh my god, I hope Tristan's I hope
Tristan, are you listening?
Tristan, hi, I'm Ella and I think you're really cool and I really like your work, so you should do VR porn.
As a sex worker who the vast majority of the sex work that I've done has been fetish and fantasy exploration.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you get clients who want to like get on your crazy train, like get in your van and like go for a ride.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you have clients who have a very particular idea of what they want from their role play, from their fetish, perhaps physically in the kind of people that they're hiring. So I wonder what the implications would be of the fact that a client could program like his ideal sex fantasy, maybe in a way that like with the VR, it will be less fucking annoying.
Yeah.
For the models, for the providers, in terms of doing the emotional labor of, no, you don't quite have it right, no, you don't quite have it right, like somebody is will be able to like use like the software and the programming to, or maybe even the artificial intelligence to like have more of like specifically what they want, and then they can just play that over and over and over and over again.
There are so many clients I've had who have that fucking particular thing in their head that they don't even know how to articulate.
Well, that's the thing.
And it would be such a nice fuck you to just be like, oh, really? You didn't like this third video that I shot for you? Here you go. Do it your fucking self. Make your own model. Make your own shit. I don't give a fuck. Not my problem.
Yeah, come back to me when you see how easy it is.
I love that you approach it that way, that it's like, you know, less fucking annoying for the models, because a lot of people, when they talk about that, they talk about it in these very dire circumstances. Like, they just won't even need women anymore. And it's like, okay, that's really gross to talk about women in that sense.
Totally.
Like, they don't need us. Well, what are we going to do? Just fly off into the sky?
Sounds great.
But no, what it's doing is...
Like, what will we do with our time when we don't have to cater to the emotional needs of the patriarchy? Constantly, every single moment of every single fucking day. Actually, maybe we'd get a lot more done.
Take a nice deep breath. Yeah. Enjoy life for a minute.
Yeah.
But no, that's it. Like, people who have these very specific things, it's not... nobody's benefiting from their disappointment.
Right.
It's just, like, give them the thing that's going to make them happy. Maybe it'll make them happy. Maybe they'll just find something else to complain about. Maybe they just really get off on fucking disappointment and, like, being annoyed. Like,
well,
you're not happy unless you're fucking miserable, right?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, exactly. I mean, and also the, wouldn't it be great if, like clients and consumers felt entitled to could place their entitlement on a computer. I feel like they would be more likely to be like, oh, well, the computer couldn't do it, so I guess it's not possible, or like my request is actually quite unreasonable. Like, they're much more likely to believe that if a computer tells them than if a woman tells them, frankly, or if a sex worker tells them.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, God. How sad is that?
It's like, sad and true.
It's our profession. It's our passion. It's what we do. But you don't believe us when we give you a very valid reason why your request is nonsense.
Yes.
Oh, God. Yeah. God, this is, it's just so nice talking to somebody who understands sex work.
Likewise. Cool. Well, I'm happy to provide that. Okay. What are you excited about with the future of VR porn?
Let's see. I am excited about introducing new ways to increase immersion and engagement. So we're getting ready to start coding for some of the teledildonics devices.
Ah, yes. Isn't that Tenga that does that?
There's Kiru.
Okay.
Which is, I don't know, somewhere in Europe company.
Sure.
If I try to guess the country, I'll definitely be wrong. So I just won't. But they're really cool. Their devices are pretty popular at this point. They've got a deal.
Tell me about their teledildonics. I would hope that people know what that means, but can you define that? Can you explain that?
Right, that's a good idea. So teledildonics is basically where you have two different sex toys, basically, and they have reciprocity, sort of. So I have a dildo on
I see.
Yeah, and everything I do to that dildo is reciprocated in your VR's in your stroker device.
Gotcha.
So I jerk off my dildo, and then the stroker strokes your dick in the same way, in the same manner.
I can see how that would be exciting. Yeah. Somebody was explaining to me, I have not used it. I have not been paid to endorse this particular product, but somebody at the Pleasure Chest was showing me, now I can't even remember who makes it, but there's a product that is insertable and external stimulation, and there is actually an app that is connected to it, and so you could, you could be in LA and I could be using the dildo and you could be on your phone instead of on a remote, controlling the clit vibrating harder or whatever.
Exactly. That's teledildonics.
But the remote control is fun, but the idea that a dildo in a pussy is like doing the same thing and like having the same response as a sleeve on a dick somewhere. I mean, on the other side of the room, or like on the other side of the world, or on Mars, probably.
Oh, right? God, that would be. That's my new goal. I want to be the first Martian, like, ejaculation experience.
Oh, my God. You start with the moon. Start with the moon.
Okay. You know what? My lunar seismology business partner can probably make that happen a little sooner. Okay. I'll take the moon.
Shoot, I mean, I guess, you know, if you shoot for the moon, you'll land among the stars. That can be your tagline. Awesome. You can use that. You can use that.
Oh, God. That's so great.
Shoot for the moon. All right, this is how you're going to make your millions.
Fuck yeah. So yeah, the teledildonics is, it's such a device that, like, the user at home can put his dick into the Kiru, for example.
Yeah.
Which is compatible with fleshlights and stuff.
Okay.
And they can feel the same experience. There's a ways to go with teledildonics before it's really going to feel like, I mean, you feel like you're using a male sex toy, essentially.
Right.
Which is not exactly the same experience as fucking a person.
Totally.
But it's something, and it's a start. Yeah. So I'd like to start incorporating that. I'd like to see teledildonics really grow and blossom. There are some patents in place that different people own that sort of restrict some of the development there. There's a teledildonics patent case that's going on. And also, you know, Fleshlight owns any...
Anything you stick your dick in.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. If you stick your dick into it, if it's got a hard shell, then it's their property, basically.
Yeah.
So they own your jizz sock. but yeah, so with that also comes higher expectations of quality. Yeah. And they can kind of like be a little better, and I don't know. It'll be interesting to see where that goes.
I mean, I do not have a penis, but I do know what it is like to have a part of my body inside a vagina when it is coming, and it feels great. And yes. I don't even have the same nerve endings in my hand that I do, or that someone would on, that I do on my imaginary cock. Yeah. So I can definitely imagine. And I do wish that I could have the experience of fucking a fleshlight. It seems so, like, interesting and, to me. Like, it's, or even the ones that are, like, a little bit more, that have all the, like, weird, that you, like, open them up and they look like an alien city. You know what I'm talking about? Like, I definitely am, like, would love to know what it is like to fuck one of those things. But until we figure out, like, you know, AI prosthetics. Anyway, that's another podcast, I'm sure. But I'm sure you'll be on the forefront of that as well. I can imagine that, like, fucking a fleshlight is fun, like getting off on a vibrator. But if the fleshlight could, like, especially if you were like watching. Especially if, like, the fleshlight is, like, modeled from, like, Stoya's vagina, and then you're watching Stoya, you're watching, like, POV, VR, of Stoya getting fucked, and then she starts coming, and you feel that on your dick?
That's pretty fucking intense.
I'm, like, coming right now, like, just thinking about it. And I don't even have that equipment. Like, that, I get it, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I get it. Come on.
Totally. It's cool as fuck. The other thing that I really want, personally, and this is, it's really gross when you think about it, but I don't even give a shit. I want some kind of, like, smell-o-vision sort of thing. Because,
oh, yeah. No, that's not gross. Come on.
Yeah. Well, I mean, just thinking about, like, what chemicals are we going to be placing into this device that is, like, blowing onto your face?
Oh, like, my God. I'm so glad that you're bringing up different senses. So, like, so obviously right now we're in, like, a visual stage, right? And, like, vision also has so much to do with, like, perception and all of these things that we've been talking about. What's the pupil word that you...
Interpupillary distance.
Oh, so interesting. So then we've been talking a little bit about touch and how probably when you are in that immersive visual experience, it's easier for you to imagine that your hand is a pussy, for example. Mm-hmm. But if the pussy was then actually like also like responding in kind to the visual, that would probably be even have even more presence and like be even more immersive.
Totally.
I'm sorry you don't have a shot to take.
It's okay. It's okay. There's a mini bar right over there. I have the ability, I have the agency to drink should I choose.
Okay. Oh, consent. Well, if you're playing along at home, every time we say immersive, you have to take a shot. By the end, everything that we're saying about artificial intelligence and robots will make more sense. Okay, so then you just brought up smell. Mm-hmm. I mean, of course, we have the like John Waters smell-o-vision as a model. But I mean, come on, smell is an enormous part of sex, and it's something that you don't get in porn unless, like, I remember hearing Nina Hartley talking about how she, when she dirty talks in porn, she likes to describe the way that things smell and taste because she knows that the voyeur can't experience that. So if she can describe it verbally, then they can get a little bit closer to like the full sensory experience.
Okay, can I just say how much I fucking love Nina Hartley?
Like, I mean, this, yes, you can. You can say that.
Fucking amazing woman. So right somewhere over there on my bed, I have a t-shirt that I stole from my male primary partner, primary romantic partner person.
Sure.
That like I just love how he smells. Oh, and when yeah. I jerk off in this hotel room, I want to smell him.
I mean, I'm a big fan of used panties. And,
yeah.
And isn't it so funny, like, even I feel, like, a little bit, like, shy and embarrassed is probably too strong a word, but, like, maybe embarrassed. I don't feel ashamed, but I feel, like, a little embarrassed because yeah. it is, like, it's, like, this weird, it has this weird pervert association, but it's, like, smell. Come on, a smell is associated with memory, mm-hmm. right? And also, like, what's up with the value judgment on like one of your senses, right?
Right, absolutely. Well, not we, but people in general tend to be so shamey about that. Like they kink shame yeah. anything they don't understand, but especially like the first thing when you talk about panties, the first thing that people talk about is like these Japanese men buying little girls panties.
And sure,
it's always little girls. It's never like maybe it's adult women who, you know, market themselves. But
you can buy them in vending machines in Japan. Is that true or is that just a myth?
I think it's true. It's factually true, but I don't think you're like going to the stadium and buying like, oh, I'll get an Aquafina and some panties. Like I can buy weed from a vending machine at this one dispensary in LA, but that doesn't mean that America is full of weed vending machines.
Not yet.
Someday. But yeah, I mean, people always shame, like it's kind of gross how it's almost always Japanese men that they're shaming for being into smelling panties when it's not just a male thing. It's not a geographical thing. It's a fucking human thing. We love smell.
Come on, and pheromones. Come on.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, like, I'm somebody who is a fan of strong smells. Like, you know, like give me your like gym shorts to smell as yeah. well. Like, I'm, you know, but and I understand not everybody is going to be into like that level of potency, but that's the thing about this is that you could like turn up or turn down the potency, right?
Yeah it, I would love that. I think it'd be cool. I mean, at this point, like I have people who buy my videos and then they'll also buy like my socks or my pantyhose,
right?
And people are really into my feed. People don't really want to buy my panties, but they will fucking drop some dollars on some socks and pantyhose.
Nice.
But yeah, so they'll buy those and then watch my videos and then smell them at the same time. But I haven't really seen much of that in VR.
It's kind of like a bit of like analog VR, right? Yeah. You're like designing a like sensory immersive experience. Mm-hmm. And also believing, you know, in your case, it sounds like you really can get the actual like pheromone, like, you know, like soiled pheromone filled like pantyhose or whatever, of the person that you are then watching a video of. That makes sense to me. So it's cute that people are like making it for themselves at home, and it would be, it seems like it would be a valuable service. I would like maybe by the time I'm like 45, I could be the like smell Foley artist for porn.
That's awesome.
It's my goal.
Oh, smell Foley artist. That is an excellent phrase to coin.
Cool. Okay. That's new life goal. So, so then, I mean, it seems like taste obviously is connected to smell.
Yeah.
So the idea, I'm just like imagining somebody like jerking off with like something in their mouth that like really tastes like a dick, mm-hmm. or like being able to just like actually like have like a version of a fleshlight that is basically just like wet and smelly, like a super turned on pussy,
yeah.
like in your face.
Yeah.
I'd pay for that.
Fuck yeah.
That's that you so can like hot. Actually feel in your mouth mm-hmm. and suck on.
Yeah. That Come mouth on. Feel.
Yeah. Then the other job will have to be like a porn like sommelier, right? Like,
yeah. Oh my gosh, absolutely. Are you feeling I was about to get a little more gross than I want to, so I'm not.
We'll have to script this and then make little ads for it. And then sound. I mean,
so we're doing sound pretty well. So we use binaural microphones and we kind of place it in the experience. So
cool.
So the sound source is localized. So when you turn your head, you know, if you turn your head to the left, you can hear mostly out of your right ear. It's impressive the degree to which they are able to replicate like the way that our ears work in a real room, and then make the acoustics in VR kind of mirror that.
Yeah, there must be so many audiophiles out there who are so sad about the sound quality in porn that would be actually really excited about like a stereophonic porn symphony.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's I mean, if you close your eyes, like you can ascertain like the location based on like hearing it down to I don't remember a very small degree.
Yeah.
My business partner and I were kind of playing with that. Like, we close our eyes and kind of snap in different areas and point to where it's at. And you can really, you have a lot of precision with that.
There's a restaurant in Berkeley, I don't remember its name, that has this innovative sound design in the restaurant and in like the architecture of the restaurant where you, because of, I don't even know how they do it with like speakers and like feedback maybe, where like you and I could be like having a conversation, but the like cacophony of noise that you usually experience in a restaurant is muted just by the way that the place is designed.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's amazing to think about that. With sex, I would have to sort of imagine how, like, that seems like it would have to be more of like a live thing where you could like walk around a room and get closer to the sounds of fucking. It's interesting to me that people, there doesn't seem to be like that much of a market for people like only purchasing like the audio of someone coming.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's what the fuck is that called? They do it on YouTube a lot.
ASMR?
Yeah, ASMR. And there's Nika Noel was doing some ASMR erotica for a while.
Oh my god. Of course she was.
Yeah. I still keep meaning to record something for her. But yeah, that's something that's really interesting. And just hearing someone come, like, that I think is incredibly, to me, like, when I think of a really erotic thing that I would jerk off to, mostly I jerk off when I'm reading. I jerk off when I'm reading Reddit or Facebook or, like, just doing all the shit in my life. I jerk off so much that if I had to watch porn to jerk off, I would never live a life. I jerk off when I'm driving. I'm probably jerking off right now.
Great.
But when I actually sit down and, like, watch, like, some kind of erotic experience, it's the sounds.
Totally.
I have to have some kind of smell component. And then it's, like, I just imagine, like, sort of macro close-ups of like lipsticky lips,
yeah.
and like teeth and just like the tongue just like having this like really vocal orgasm. It's not even the body.
Well, that's the other thing, is that you could have one VR recording that different people could have completely different voyeuristic experiences of, right? That you could like zoom in on certain parts. So like five different people could be watching the same simulation, but have completely different experiences based on what they zero in on.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Cool.
I mean, when I do my VR cam shows, I've got people who, like, I make sure that my feet are visible because my foot people are really, really vocal.
Great.
So some, like, one person will just be jerking off to my feet. One person will be jerking off to, like, the shit that I'm saying.
Yeah.
Another person's really excited that I've got some electro toy in my pussy. Like, there's a little something for everyone.
Yeah, that's very efficient. Yeah. You get a lot done in one shoot.
Hell yeah.
That's great. Well, I love going back to something that you said earlier about people's fear that this will make it so that people are only interested in their like perfect robot experience and not interested in other humans. I just think that we have to think of these things as tools for connecting as opposed to scary things that are absorbing us and alienating us.
Right. It's I think it's very much a supplementary experience. I mean, people are so afraid that, like, you know, the internet is just going to destroy personal connection and, right. like, who even talks to each other anymore. But my friend base, like, the number of people that I communicate with and I'm intimate with in any kind of, not romantic, but, like, friendly sense, is so much larger because of the internet. God, my roommate I know basically because of the internet, my partner, my romantic partners, most people I know came from the internet somehow, because choosing from the pool of people that happen to share your locale doesn't guarantee that you're going to have a great connection with them. And especially if you're a weirdo or a slut or a nerd or someone
or if you don't live in a coastal city or like you live in the middle of nowhere. Yeah,
exactly. And so it really just supplements our relationships and it makes them stronger. It makes it so that we can stay in contact with people when we're not in the same vicinity. Or if you're a fucking shut-in and you don't leave your house, it gives you access to really cool friends, which is nice for me.
Just for asking for a friend.
Yeah, exactly. But like, I'm in a Facebook group that is 20,000 women in Los Angeles.
Whoa.
And we help each other out. We connect with each other. We provide, like, you know, work opportunities for each other. My apartment, I have my apartment because some girl in this Facebook group mentioned that she was moving, and she mentioned the rate and she mentioned where it was at, and I was able to get it.
Yeah.
And this is the thing, like, it just makes things better for us. It makes opportunities arise that we would never otherwise have.
Yeah.
It lets us have connections that just didn't exist before. And I think that's fucking awesome. Like, I don't think it's going to replace anything. It's just going to help.
Well, that is a beautiful note to end on. Thank you so much for, I learned a lot and you're totally blowing my mind and I'm excited about the future. And so thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you. This has been awesome.
So where, speaking of the internet, where you live, if people want to find you in your house of the internet, where can they find you?
So vrtube.xxx is our site. We don't have the current version of the program up yet because we're getting ready to launch, and we're probably going to launch in the next month or so.
Cool.
I am at Ella Darling. That's E-L-A Darling. On Twitter, on Instagram, you can Facebook. You can find me. Sure. Just Google me. You'll find it.
Cool.
Yeah.
Great. Well, thank you so much for... it's nice to see you in new space.
Yes. This is awesome. Thank you.
Thanks, Ella. Thanks for listening to episode 38. Follow at Tina Horns Ass on Twitter and Instagram. Subscribe on Acast, iTunes, Stitcher, etc. And take a few seconds to write a review. Visit wirepeopleintothat.com to subscribe to our newsletter and listen to our entire archive. As ever, Wire People Into That is produced and hosted by yours truly, Tina Horn. Our theme song is by Pine from Oakland, California. Our website was designed by Justin Levesque, and this project is now sponsored by my generous and totally far out patrons. Immerse yourself at patreon.com
www.patreon.com/TinaHorn. Until next time, I'll be developing a robot to do all my emotional labor.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.